understand more, and to be critical of those things that we felt were not right, without being destructive. We are not, and I say I consider myself a part of this kind of grouping, we are not anti-Soviet, anti-socialist, or anti-communist party, or anything of that kind. In fact, we are the exact opposite. We feel that socialism is the way to go. We feel that the Soviet Union has played a tremendous role and is playing a tremendous role in the world today, that there are some things there that are that need to be corrected. That not that the society, society as such has to be changed. The question of the relationship of the forces in the social forces needs to be changed, but that there are certain things that are not correct there and need to be corrected. It needs to be more democratic, and that the people there are not only able to handle this thing, but they are literate. They all read, they all study, they know things that if the Soviet Union would open up some of these so-called dissidents and writers to the public and show the people, you know, what's right and what's wrong, that the people would debate and they would come to the correct conclusions, and they would toss some of these dissidents out and they would accept others with corrections. And therefore, we still feel that way, that the only way to go is to socialism. And I remain one of those who so far has not found any other movement to be in but the Communist Party, even though I am critical of the Communist Party of the United States and some of its methods and some of its directions, you know, and so on. I don't stay in the leadership at this time because I don't feel that I want to carry out all the things. But I do stay in. I voice my opinions, and I have not made up my mind at this point to do anything else.
I have a question that I'm a little confused. I was under the assumption, from my own reading, that there was a difference between communism and socialism.
There is. The difference is that communism is a further development of socialism. Under socialism, which is the first stage, the first change, the government remains as an instrument of power. It is the power of the people. It's the what they established when they established socialism, the dictatorship of the proletariat. You've heard that. Instead of a dictatorship of capital, then it is a dictatorship of the working people, right? And the government is an instrument, remains as a government. It has power. It has a political force. It has an army. It has, you know, thinking is that when intervention is no longer in the picture, when, in other words, when there are more countries that are socialist, or when the danger of attack from the outside and the inside is no longer there, then you can move on. Or it's a process that goes on. You move in the direction of getting rid of the state as an instrument, and develop only an administration. In other words, all you need is administration to carry out the fundamental needs of the people, distribution, education, development of things, you know, and so on. You just need bureaus and stuff. You don't need a state, a power that can keep control.
All right. I left you, okay, we got up to about 1962. And I'd like to kind of continue as to what took place after 1962. You found a job and left to go into.
Yeah, well, we came to California, and Sam was the went to work for the People's World, which is a West Coast communist paper, and I went to work. I decided not to go back into the plants. For one thing, the industry that I was related to was would be here is basically electronics, and most of that was related to the war, and to aviation and still aerospace and all that kind of thing. And I thought I wouldn't last there, which was proven to be true after. And I decided too that I was getting up in years a little bit, and maybe I ought to not try to buck the shops anymore. They're not easy. So I just took my little knowledge of mathematics and just general observations and so on, and started to apply for little office jobs, and then picked up things as I went along into the bookkeeping end. I, you know, just worked in different places. Some closed down, one place merged, but in each place I learned a little bit more. And after being fired from Occidental, that I told you about earlier, where the FBI followed me, in these small places, very few questions were asked. And basically the wages were low. If they got somebody who had any good sense and was able to carry the job and handle something, they would, you know, they were glad and they didn't bother. And eventually I just wandered into this, I answered an ad in the paper into this place that I'm working at, and I've been there now for 14 years. I just stayed on, and I've, you know, been working there, and I earn my living that way, and that's about what it amounts to. And Sam worked for many years with the PW, then he finally left about 3 years ago, and became a freelance writer, and he does programs now for radio and so on. And took time out in this career to put together a book on the farm workers, which he followed right from the start. When we came out here, he picked up the farm workers movement right away and followed it right from the start.
Did you get involved with the farm workers struggle?
Well, yeah, in the sense of here, you know, in the boycott movement. I never was on the staff or worked with them, but I always worked with the movement. In other words, with the picketing, with the fundraising, with the carrying out of, you know, the fights for the different against 22 and 414, you know, and different things that they went through. We've always supported the farm workers and always worked with them. And I've always been a part of, you know, the activities. But I never was involved in the same sense he was, where he was covering, where he was following it, where he was helping in the to go along with the developments of all the areas around it, you know, so on. But of course, it's not a question of rubbing off. You hear it, you're part of it, you go to many of the activities, you know, with him and so on. So, you know, it was, for me, a very new education, a whole new movement, because the Farm Workers Union is not the same as other unions. It was in fact a movement that developed and then became a union, but still maintains the aspects of movement which the other unions no longer have at this point. So that would be about it. I was active in the Communist Party here. I helped to I basically spent most of my time within the party, within the Communist Party of Southern California, with what they call the OR Commission, the Organizing Commission, trying to help to develop certain activities and to develop certain programs around the issues that came up at different times. And, you know, I've been working in that fashion. Somewhere along the line, I became a member of the Peace and Freedom movement and the party and the movement, and worked with them for a number of years trying to develop independent politics. Mm-hmm. As a communist, I mean, it was known, it was not only no secret, it was, you know, it was actually, there were a group of us who were, I think, respected, and we worked very hard, and we thought well, but we found a great deal of problems trying to work within the Peace and Freedom movement, because it became very disjointed after a while and went off in a million directions. And as much as some of us tried, not just the communist members, but, you know,
even
many
people
good,
within PNF.
Yeah, PNF, who tried hard to try to coordinate a program that had some meaning and that was more concentrated and wasn't as as big. You didn't, you know, we didn't have to run for the whole state. We tried to organize little movements, and we had some very successful campaigns along the way, but we actually could not settle down into any kind of a pattern of work, and eventually I think a good many of the best of the members just dropped away. I'm still registered in as Peace and Freedom, really there is nothing much to go to at this point, you know. So I'm not involved in that. What I'm doing right now is gotten involved with a food co-op movement, which has started in the last about 4 years. Has been developing in California as a whole, and in Southern California as a newer part of it. And we have a local co-op right around the corner from our house called the Jefferson Community Buyers Club, which is not a co-op in the sense of a store or anything, but it's actually a community buyers club. And it's been going, we're into our fourth year now. And it's a very interesting and very exciting co-op, because it's probably one of the few third world type of co-op, mixture of everybody. Actually, this was an Asian community. It was started by an Asian group, youth group. But now it's mostly black. Quite a few Asian families kind of have come back now. A whole number of Anglo families and mixed groups of various kinds. Younger people, basically. Many children have been born in the 4 years since we've been there. And it's really a fine group that tries to do some other things, has been involved in the farm workers movement in support now we're trying to arrange a program on Africa, for instance, tries to do some amount of educational work and to participate in consumer activities and so on as much as possible. But basically it is a food co-op, and it has an openness in the community that's really good, and that finds particularly young people. I would say the average age is probably between 25 and 30, the young families who have been coming in. And I've been giving quite a bit of time to that, but politically I have not been very active recently, to tell the truth.
Okay, I want to go back to a statement you made about working in the aerospace industry, I can't talk to that, and that as it proved out later that it wouldn't work for you. What did you mean by that?
Well, if I told you the story about the FBI following me to the first job that I had, right. Occidental, and within a half a year or so after we were here, we were served with the subpoenas based on the Smith Act, based on our activity in Chicago. We were supposed to appear in Washington, you know, and so on. Now that, if I had gone into the electronic field, I would have been checked out more rapidly. And I don't think I would have lasted there very long because, you know, you have the feeling that the Smith Act was just about over with, because by that time the cases were being thrown out of court by the Supreme Court, were being thrown out. People were being released. Those who were on bail, you know, came home and so on. The fact of the matter is it was not finished yet, you know, as witnesses that the subpoena that came. Now, it's true that this subpoena was not followed up the same way as the previous ones were. We never even went to Washington. The lawyers appeared for us and it was thrown out because it was just a tail end, sort of, so to say. But that indicated that the check would have been made had I applied in any of the bigger plants. And that's what I would have gone to.
And when you and Sam received the subpoenas to appear in Washington, did the party pick up the tab for legal fees, or did you have to do that yourself?
Oh, no. The party took care of all those cases.
Did.
I mean, our legal fees were really relatively nothing, but we never went. We never did anything, actually.
Right, but that, yeah.
The party lawyers went in and went to the hearing and took care of everything, and that's all. But all the cases were handled by the party in the largest sense. In fact, we had very many fundraising efforts that were carried on all over the country for years for the victims of the Smith Act, for the victims and their families, because it wasn't only that there were legal fees, there were families that had to be taken care of,
too. That was my next question.
So that there were funds that were raised continuously all the time that the people were in jail or were on trial, in order to maintain both the trials, you know, the effort to get them released, and to maintain the families.
That was my next question, too. Interesting. In retrospect, I'd like to look back. I'd like you to look back on your life. And we all have regrets at one time, points in our lives. Do you have any regrets that, you know, come to mind that you think about that maybe you wish you'd done, you know, if you hadn't done this, you know? Any that you can think of offhand?
Well, that's really a funny kind of question.
Yeah, it is a funny kind of question. But
because if something else had happened, maybe you would have done something else.
True, but I'm saying, in looking back, do you see any really blunderous things that...
Well, you know, there are blunderous things of things that we were related to. I mean, some of the errors of the Communist Party are very blunderous. Like going underground for that year was very destructive for me, for my family, for my party, for the People's Movement, I think, because we lost a great deal of our membership at that time, a great deal of our influence at that time, and credibility, and relationships, starting from the very personal to the greatest political relationships. So that would be a very, very regrettable thing. If you want to call it that, I think it was an error. But at that time, we didn't. We were just in a hurry, and we didn't. We really didn't estimate correctly, and we thought that if we didn't do it very fast, everybody would be picked up. There was a very rough atmosphere, and more than atmosphere. I mean, McCarthyism was. Was doing some tremendous damage to the Communist Party. All these laws that had been passed, the Smith Act, the McCarran Acts, the Anti-Alien Acts that were passed, you know, and all these kind of things had a great impact on the people as a whole, and of course on the political movements, especially the Communist Party, but others too. So there was a great fear that there was a police state in the making, and that we would lose the whole organization, the whole leadership, if things continued. But when you say in retrospect, then we have to say that that was a very bad time of our lives.
Are you satisfied with your life as it is now, and the things that you've done with your life? Do you feel that you've gotten out of life what you want?
Well, that's also a very kind of difficult question. Yeah, because I must say that I've had some very wonderful years, and some very wonderful relationships and activities and interests and development, but it doesn't mean that you've had everything that you want. I mean, there's many things you wish you could have done.
Like what?
Differently. Well, I wish that my family affairs hadn't developed the way they had. You know, I don't think that I was looking for a breakup of the family. I wasn't expecting anything to happen like did happen after I came back from the war. So, it doesn't leave you happy. It doesn't leave you satisfied. It doesn't create the closeness of family that does develop when you stay closer together, you know, and so on. But I'm not unhappy, with Sam, and not unhappy with being, with being involved with the way I am now. I would like to be more involved politically at this point, but I don't know exactly where I want to go, because it's not just myself. It's a time of the events, you know, what's going on. I'm not satisfied with the Communist Party completely right now, so I'm not putting in the same kind of effort that I would normally have done and would do, and I miss that, because that was a great part of my life in the last years. In particular, party was more a part of my life, the direct party activities, mm-hmm. rather than working in the trade unions, you know, or other mass fields. I don't think there's a kind of political activity in general going on now where one can be related. You know, it's a time in history now where people are not in motion as they were in previous times of my life, where many things are at a standstill. You don't have the trade union movement. You don't have the California Democratic Council as it was when we came out here. You don't have peace and freedom. You don't have great unfolding movements at this time. And so I'm at rest, mm-hmm. to some extent. Not that I don't participate whenever things happen or whenever I can or at issues, but not as movements. Mm-hmm. See? So I would say that while I'm not unhappy, I'm not pleased with the fact that I think that I could contribute more, which I'm not doing at this moment.
Did you get involved in the 60s with the civil rights movement in the Vietnam, you know, against the Vietnam?
Well, of course. I mean, you know, as I said, we couldn't go into all the details, but when we were out here at that time already, so we were involved with all the demonstrations, you know, the anti-war demonstrations. We were involved with the help to develop the peace movement and try to this. I was working basically with a party organization, trying to help to develop, you know, some of the movements and to get the mass groups and so on to participate. And the same thing is true with the civil rights movement. We were complete support of that. Of course, Peace and Freedom was a part of, came out of that, was a part of that movement. So I would say that, you know, these were very important issues since the time we were out here. Sam went into the farm workers' movement, but being the head of the Los Angeles Bureau of the People's World, he was covering everything that was going on down here, which included, you know, the political movement, which California has a very rich development in, that's other than many of the other states, and the peace movement at the time, and the civil rights movement, and then the farm workers movement was the upcoming of the Chicano movement, was the beginning and development of that movement. So like we worked together with Peace and Freedom, worked very hard with La Raza Unida. You know, so there's a whole history of issues and activities and so on that we carried on in the earlier years. But what I'm saying is that at this moment, none of these things are in flux and in motion the same way as they were at that time.
I agree. One of the things that I that I saw, well, there's two things that I saw that came out of the so-called peace movement. One that I think was destructive, and one that I think that was constructive, and I'd like to get feedback from you on that, and that was the drug culture, one, and the women's movement, number two. And I'd like to hear what you have to say about each of those.
Well, I would agree with you that the drug culture is a bad feature, and I don't think it's an answer to any of the problems, and it's destructive of young people and of older people, but basically the youth who got involved in it. And the women's movement, I think, was one of the new features that did come out and did develop, and is developing. It is one of the few things that is in movement right now, although it has many problems, and it still seems to go, well, sort of the same way as the peace movement do, with the young or the white middle class people still seem to be in the leadership and, and headed. And, but for some reason, I haven't found myself able to get involved in the women's movement outside of when I, you know, was working with the issues I did, but with Peace and Freedom, you know, and so on, with some of the, we did work as a coalition with some of the upcoming women's movements.